This is Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you in your journey to stay pure online. Serena was shocked the day she discovered evidence that her husband Josh, who is also a pastor, was having an affair. As the weeks progressed, she learned the awful truth that this was not his first affair. Years of lust and battles with pornography had taken their toll on Josh's heart, and it seemed like their marriage was at the breaking point.
And I just went right into a doorway to pornography when I was around 13 or 14. And it just really just spiraled out of control. After we got married, the pornography continued, and a few years later, I was beginning to have affairs.
In 2007, when more of his history came out, he finally left. He left. He was done. It really did seem like the end of us, and Josh had no desire to change whatsoever.
The affair that she caught me in was actually the fourth up until that time.
So at this point, I was about 6 months pregnant and with our fourth baby, and alone, crushed. Devastated, heartbroken, with no end in sight.
Today we are playing the first part of our interview with Josh and Serena Abdelaziz. Serena talks about her heartbreak and how God brought her through what seemed like a hopeless situation. Josh talks about how the downward spiral of lust and deception brought him to the point of wanting to quit on his marriage. Well, Serena, tell us a little about the shock you received in November 2006. What did you find out about Josh?
Well, one day I was just looking at our cell phone bill and we got it in, and it was $400, which was somewhat of a shock, and because it was normally only about $100. And I looked at the details and realized that nothing was adding up. And I, of course, questioned Josh, but wanting to believe his lies and knowing in your heart that something isn't really right, and that much deeper is going on is kind of hard to swallow. And how do you trust, you know, the words of your spouse and remain respectful and submissive and do all of that at the same time? So I really battled with the questions for a long time, knowing that something wasn't really right. And he kept up the lies and saying that there was nothing wrong, that someone must have used his cell phone. And I just kept praying about it. And as some of the lies turned into truth, I could really only lean more on what I felt God was telling me, and what other choice, you know, did I have. And Josh was apologetic once some of the truth started coming out, but when the days turned into weeks, he felt that everything should be fine, because the hurt and betrayal of what turned out to be an affair wasn't really the complete truth, and I should be completely over it, because it had been weeks now. So I'm sure that the emotional state of myself wasn't very good because of all the shock, but nothing was fixing the problem, including knowing that there was something a whole lot deeper involved with Josh. And when asked about pornography or anything like that, it was always, you know, how dare you ask me that kind of thing, and how would you even consider that, because he was a pastor. Little did I know that there was more to the story other than just what he was telling me.
More to the story. Well, Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit from your perspective? You didn't just wake up one morning and just have an affair. It didn't just come out of the blue. You know, behind this is as your wife was saying, behind this is a history of some kind of sexual relational brokenness in your own life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, to continue with what Serena had started there, the affair that she caught me in was actually the fourth up until that time.
The fourth.
And really, I just think of the fourth affair.
Yeah. Wow.
And that really just became a part of who I was. And that was just another side of me. I was also a pastor, son of a pastor, father, husband, business owner, all the other things, but just someone that cheated on his wife was someone that I had just become. It just became a part of life and had been that way for a few years then. But really the core issues had started when I was really, really young. I can remember having immoral thoughts about girls I was at school with as young as 6 or 7. And then that just segued right into a doorway to pornography when I was around 13 or 14. And like all pornography stories of people that have come out of it, it just really just spiraled out of control. I did manage to remain a virgin until I got married, but with the habit of pretty much masturbating quite frequently. And Serena and I had conversations about pornography before we were married during the courting stages. And I made sure that let her know that part of my life, things that I had dealt with in the past, were completely done with. There was no more problems there. When in reality, that was just another lie that I was telling. And throughout this whole time, I became an amazing liar. I was able to tell stories and weave things into the truth of daily life about where I was and what I was doing and who I was with. I mean, they just came so, so easily. And I reasoned during this time that, after I recording that, all this stuff would be taken care of, all the sexual problems I was having with pornography, et cetera, would be taken care of once I got married, because I would have this now, in a sense, a holy outlet for those sexual energies, and that once I got married, all this stuff would be taken care of. But that, too, was a lie from the enemy that just kept me in bondage. And after we got married, the pornography continued, and a few years later, I was beginning to have affairs. At that time, looking at pornography wouldn't fulfill it anymore, so I was looking outside my marriage to find that fulfillment.
Well, there's a couple things here we're talking about, and I think this is a very interesting thing, because this is sadly very common. I mean, obviously the details of your story are unique, but the general themes are very common as we talk to married couples, is you believed going into your marriage that being married would solve this problem that had been going on for so long for you. Because, like you said, there'd be a holy outlet for your sexual energies. You've quickly found out that wasn't the case. Why do you think that is? What had you trained yourself for through masturbation, pornography, and that kind of thing, that when you got into marriage, you realized, hey, wait a second, this isn't what either I thought marriage was going to be or what I thought sex in marriage wasn't going to be? What was the reason for this? Why do you feel like this... years of the habit you had built up had sort of conditioned you for the wrong kind of attitude going into marriage?
Well, I think a lot of it comes back to, and it's a conversation I've had with some really close guy friends of mine just recently, that a lot of our problems about marriage and sex in marriage and everything goes back to the way our culture has displayed it in movies and TVs and just in our culture and everything, that it's supposed to look a certain way, it's supposed to sound a certain way, there's supposed to be all these certain things. And when in reality, sex was something that God created, I mean, in the garden between the husband and wife, Adam and Eve, for his glorification, not only for our sexual pleasures, but something that would glorify him. And I believe the enemy wants to come against that in a very, very strong way and pull that down and pull it into the gutter, if you will, to diminish another area we can glorify God within our marriage. You know, with my pornography problem, in my own human reasoning, I looked at it as though it was a physical problem, but really goes much deeper into the spiritual problem. It's something that there was a breakdown in communication, not just between me and my wife or me and my sexuality. It was a breakdown between me and God for the most part. And in my period of running away from God and running away from my wife and everything, I learned that my issues weren't a sexual problem, that was just a symptom of what was going on, but the deeper core issue was that me and God had some serious issues to work out, that I felt I deserved a certain way that I should be treated after having, you know, quote, served him, not really served him really that well, but served him for almost 30 years, and I really had nothing to show for it. So it was really a breakdown in communication between me and God.
Okay, so a lot of this was based on your perception that God owed you something for your labor in his kingdom, and therefore that included things like sexual pleasure in marriage or whatever, or at least a certain perception of what you thought sexuality should be based on all the conditioning and all the stuff you had learned from pornography, from fantasy, and all those kind of things. Is that kind of what you were experiencing?
Yes, absolutely. And I really like what you said there about fantasy, because that's really what pornography really is. It's just a world of fantasy, you know, that woman on that page or that computer screen basically never judges us, never tells us who we're not or how inadequate we are, or never looks down and comes in condemnation out of us. They're always there, whether day or night, for whatever it is that we need at that moment.
Yeah, it's very one-dimensional, very one-sided,
It's a very perverted way of looking at sex, you know, when my wife is there to give me everything that I need, really. I mean, all the affirmation, all the building up, all the encouragement and sex that I needed was there in this complete relationship. But I had taught myself and I had become addicted to the idea that this other woman on this page, this like a one-dimensional creature, was able to give me all the things that I needed when I am so much more than that.
Right. Well, Serena, I want you to chime in here on this, because obviously, in the wake of finding out all these things as the truth began to unfold here. Can you describe a little bit the feelings that you must have been having at this moment? What was it like for you finding out not just about the affair or that specific affair, but
well, then all the whole history?
Yeah.
Well, some of that stuff didn't even come out for, you know, a while, because, I mean, I was truly, I was crushed, you know, because this had been something, like Josh had said, that he had told me before we were married, and that, you know, it had been dealt with, and we had a very, a great courtship period, and it was even to the point, having grown up in a family where my father had pretty much had the exact same lifestyle that Josh ended up displaying, coming from that, I had told Josh, I said, you know, throughout our marriage, you know, I'm probably just going to ask you, you know, if you're struggling or anything like that. And it's not because I don't trust you. It's just because, you know, I figure it is very common. And I definitely understand that there is a struggle and that Satan wants to do that. So I'll just ask you periodically through our marriage if you're okay. And, you know, just be honest with me, because I figured, you know, that would be a really good wifely thing to do. I was definitely crushed and devastated, because, of course, throughout the years, that it was always, no, I'm good, I'm great, it's amazing, you know. So in 2007, when more of his history came out, because he had, once you're addicted to pornography, and then, of course, having affairs, it just has to get worse. You have to feed that sin. So along with all the truth and the multiple affairs that he talked about, he finally left. He left me. He was done. And, of course, this was the first time his parents had found anything, because the first time I didn't say anything because I figured, you know, it is emotional. We'll just deal with it ourselves. So when more of the truth came out, I felt like it was definitely his pastor, father's, he needed to know. So we told them, and he pretty much said, no, I'm not going to give this up, and I'm just going to leave. So for 3 months, all the lies of his life came to the surface, and he continued to just dig deeper into that. And it really did seem like the end of us, and Josh had no desire to change whatsoever, and all the evil and sin had finally he had just given in and overtaken him, mind, body, soul, and spirit. So at this point, I was about 6 months pregnant and with our fourth baby, and alone, crushed, devastated, heartbroken, with no end in sight. But God is much bigger than that, so there's more to that story too.
Yeah, tell us a little more about that story, please.
Well, when I had told Josh that in 2006, you know, even though it was emotional, that I wasn't going to put up with it again. That was just, you know, you figure one time and that's it. You know, I'm not going to be gracious. And, of course, having grown up in that kind of a situation with my father, I figured I couldn't handle it. There was no way. So when Josh walked out, I really didn't know what I was going to do, because it was a situation that, you know, you would hope to never be in. And even his father had pretty much, you know, said, I'm so sorry that I let you marry him. You need to get a divorce. And this was coming from my father-in-law, pastor, you know, and he's just crushed and can't believe his son. And everyone around me saying, yeah, I think you just need to, you know, he's walked away from you, so you need to, you know, look for better. And God had just really given me a bigger picture and a bigger plan. And as I really, over those 3 months, just asked him what he would have me to do, he gave me that glimpse, and realizing that, you know, okay, so it was five affairs, but God just told me I was going to stand for our marriage, and that the destiny that God had for him and his best included both of us together. And it was never gave up. Even it got really, really bad with him saying that he was going to file for divorce, and I just had to pray through it. And of course, pregnant, three kids, there were definitely a lot of tears.
Yeah, oh, I can imagine. You know, Josh, I wanted to ask you on this, because it sounds like after all the truth came out, that you sort of, at least from appearances, it seems like you kind of made a shift, that there was, before there was the, you know, your marriage on the surface looked like it was going okay, in reality there were these affairs going on, there was pornography, there was lust under the surface. And suddenly when the truth all started unraveling, like Serena is saying, you sort of made this shift in appearances. Suddenly you had this attitude, I don't care, it's over, that kind of thing. Describe that shift for us. Why all of a sudden did the dam break and you just said, you know, forget it all? What was going through your mind at that time?
It's hard to say, because I don't fully understand, and I come up with some ideas the way I can best describe it. But, you know, in 2006, that was actually my fourth affair, and after we had gone through what we thought was a bit of little bit of healing time, actually ended up, I kept that same one going, and then I started another one. So by the time the call came out, I actually had five affairs. The day that she caught me in my fifth affair, she actually called me at work. I had owned my own landscaping business, and I was supposed to be at a certain job across town, and she called me and asked if I wanted to have lunch. And I said, no, I'm really too busy. When in reality, I was like a couple hours ahead of my work so I could make time to go see this other lady. And she said, okay, that's fine. I'll see you later at home. So you know, I thought everything was good, so I went to the deli to go pick up lunch for us. And Serena showed up there, and there was nothing. She didn't even say anything to me. She just knew something was up. She just knew it was over, and so did I. And as that day progressed, she started calling me, demanding I come home so we can talk about this and everything. And I said, no, I'm not coming home. By the time I got home, 4 or 5, 6 hours later, my heart had just really become absolutely hard. And the only way that I can think about it is in the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, the Bible says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, but basically he could have his miracles work through Egypt's destruction, basically. And that's really the only way I can really look at it, is that I kept all this stuff in balance, in hiding, all this other stuff. I kept it all these two different lives completely separate. And when they finally collided, I almost believe the Lord allowed my heart to get as hard as it did, because I became a completely evil person during the 4 months that I was away from my family. And I believe that God allowed my heart to be hard so he could really come through and absolutely crush and destroy all the sin and the lies and everything that had built up for years and years and years. That was the only way that I would really be free. You know, I could have gone through counseling sessions and dealt with all the surface issues, but I believe that would have only dealt with what everyone saw and really wouldn't have got to the core of who I was. So I believe that in a sense God allowed my heart to become as hard as it was within a matter of hours, to the point that I said, no, I'm not giving this up. We're fully confronted by it. Whereas before, if it would have happened, I would have just like, okay, yeah, I'll put a stop to it and done whatever I had to do to lie and keep things going. But the way that I was caught and the way that I believe the Lord allowed my heart to get allowed me to fully be broken to the point where, in a sense, I'm almost lost like everything. Everyone that believed in me and thought who I was no longer had that faith in me anymore. After everything had come to the surface was when God said, now I can start rebuilding you.
So in other words, it's kind of like all the realities had been kind of covered by this pretense, if you will, a pretense of my marriage is okay, or a pretense of I'm a pastor, or a pretense of, or sort of the, just here's the surface, here's the way I'm going to present myself to the world. And after all the truth came out, it was like God's way of letting who you really were come to the surface. And so he could deal with that as opposed to just dealing with the mask you were wearing.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I grew up in a pastor's home. I mean, my dad's been a pastor my entire life. So growing up as the only son of a pastor in not big churches, but, you know, a well-known denomination. And not that anybody purposely put these on me, but what I kind of grew up with is feeling a little bit of pressure of this, not to blame anybody else. This is my own problem. But I kind of felt as though I was this, like, golden child, this golden boy that was supposed to be perfect and act perfect and say the right things at the right times and everything. And that's who I kind of thought I was, while at the same time developing this life of sin and lust and everything behind the scenes that nobody saw, that I was able to keep separate. That's who I ended up being throughout this whole time. So that mask had to come off, and what was revealed underneath was hideously ugly. But that is who God wants us to finally bear before him, is all the dirt. So when we get on, when he's able to work with us, he's working with the actual person, not the mask.
You know, what comes to mind for me as I think about your story is what Paul says in Romans 1 about how God gave them up to the lust of their heart, to impurity, dishonoring their bodies, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And what really strikes me about that is that it's God, like you said about, you know, God hardening Pharaoh's heart, that it's God who gives people up to the lust of their heart so that they can see what they're really worshiping.
You have been listening to the first part of our interview with Josh and Serena Abdelaziz. Tomorrow, we play the conclusion of our interview. Serena will talk about how God answered her prayers for Josh, and Josh will share how God softened his heart and brought healing to his marriage. I am your host, Luke Gilkerson. To hear more of our podcasts, look for us on iTunes or visit the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.